I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Hi there. Welcome to a brand new episode of Against All Odds, an HT Smartcast original, with me, Bose. This show is about extraordinary individuals who have survived impossible challenges. Eventually, they have reached where they wanted to. This show is about passion and persistence.
HT Smartcast.
You are listening to an HT Smartcast original.
In today's episode, I bring to you the acclaimed pianist Raj Bhimani. His concerts are virtuosic, heartfelt, and eloquent. And that's not me saying it, but the New York Times critic Michael Kimmelman. Raj regularly performs across Americas, Europe, and over the last few years in India as well. And that's where I met him first. He also features on radio channels globally. But he didn't inherit this celebrityhood. He was the son to a migrant Indian and had fought against his own share of challenges.
At the stroke of the midnight hour,
my father came to the States in 1948. He came right after independence to take a two-week seminar at Columbia University here in New York. 7 years later, he was still in America. He had completed some degrees and he had been offered a job. He had to go through the process to get a green card to be able to work, which was very difficult for American, for Indians at that time. But he got his green card, he started the job, and then my brother and I were born. And there were very few Indians in America at that time. So my parents didn't have a lot of support about how to raise children in a country that they were just getting to know. So my mother asked the next door neighbor. She noticed that my brother and I got home very early from school. So she asked the neighbor, what do the kids do after school? They have all of this free time. And the neighbor said, oh, you sign them up for activities. And the neighbor said, my kids are doing baseball and piano. So I was signed up for baseball and piano. So the baseball ended very soon, thankfully, but the piano continued. By age 13, it was the only thing I wanted to do.
Rod's parents supported him completely in his pursuit. How well did he understand music as a kid?
In the very early years, I didn't understand how magical it was to be able to make music. And so at age 13, the light bulb went off for me, and that's when I started really dedicating myself to it.
As a teenager, Raj was fascinated with music, but he wasn't sure if he wanted to commit to it as a profession.
In spite of being so focused on music, I was very interested in reading and studying and history and literature. So I decided I had the option, being in America, of attending a liberal arts college that had a very strong music program. And I was in California at the time, so I went to Pomona College, one of the finest liberal arts colleges in the country.
Thereafter, Raj had more clarity and he signed up for master's with a school specializing in music, also known as a conservatory. There he found himself far behind the other students. It would have been very easy for him to give up, but he didn't. He had to work extra hard to catch up with the other students.
When I entered, I felt like I was among the weakest of the students there. And by the time I graduated, I at least had the respect of my colleagues that I was the hardest worker.
After finishing up with master's, he moved to Paris to study with one of the finest teachers in the 20th century.
Her name was Nicole Henriot-Schweitzer. She was born in 1923. She was a prodigy. So she started piano lessons at 6, and by 6 and a half, she was giving public concerts. Some of the public concerts she gave at that time were with one of the greatest composers of the entire history of music, Maurice Ravel. He had written a set of music for two pianists at one piano, so we call that piano four hands. And he'd written it for two children he knew, who he adored, because he loved children. And the music turned out to be too difficult for them to play, and so he was heartbroken that he'd written especially for these special children, but they weren't capable of playing it. So when Madame Henriot came along, he was introduced to her, and she was more than capable of playing this music. So the two of them gave 13 public performances together. of that piece of music. And I wish I could have seen that, because she was 6 and a half and he was a mature composer.
So what is the significance of working with different teachers in one's lifetime?
There's no one teacher who shows us everything that we need to know. And I've been really fortunate that the teachers I've met in my life have each provided what I needed at the moment when I met them. So my teacher in college recognized some very important deficiencies in my earlier training. My teacher in Paris opened all sorts of doors for me, showing what great artistry could be and letting me know that I could achieve that if I kept working. And after Paris, I moved here to New York and started studying with Seymour Bernstein, who's just one of the great teachers of our time. He's now 92 years old. And also, he had exactly the information I needed, and I still go play for him because we must always remain students and be willing to learn more. If we ever feel like we know everything there is to know, then we're done.
After Paris, Raj moved to New York City to pursue his doctoral degree. He also started public concerts for which he was paid. However, he felt the need for having a constant source of income.
But then I had to do more things to start earning a living. I had been living as a student and my parents had been helping me out, but it was time to start taking charge of my own life. And I started teaching children. And I realized that that's where my gift is.
Raj was very sure that he did not want to pursue an academic career in music. He loved teaching kids. He pulled out of his PhD. Then in his early 30s, he was still struggling with his performing career. How did Raj cope up with days when his performance didn't go that well?
It's painful. It's very painful. Because you've worked so hard and it's happening publicly. It's happening in real time in front of an audience full of people. And none of you can get up and move. And so, you know, if you're in the middle of the piece and you've forgotten what comes next, you've got to do something.
The final mountain that one needs to climb as a performer is consistency. And you can't learn that at any school. How did Raj manage climbing this peak?
There were performances that would go really well and that would feel ecstatic. And there were performances that would not go the way I wanted and that would be more painful than anything else. And all of my 20s, all of my 30s, it felt inconsistent. There were good days, there were bad days. But to be a performer, you have to be consistent. It wasn't until somewhere around then, late in my 30s, that I finally had a moment where I said, okay, I know what's going to happen when I walk out and play now. And it was a tremendous feeling. And it took all of my childhood and the first half of my adult life to get there.
Years and years of hard work and toiling. And now he has a fan base looking forward to his public concerts.
Well, I played here in New York this past weekend. I played at Lincoln Center, which is one of the great locations. I play in Paris every year. I started playing there as a student, and they've had me back every year since then. And I can't say how many years that is, because that would reveal my age. But it's been a very long stretch. And I've started coming to India, which I find it really gratifying. I very much enjoyed coming and playing.
A lot of aspiring musicians have to give up on their passion for the burning need to making a living. This challenge is a reality across the globe. How does one deal with the dilemma?
But otherwise, one has to do everything possible to just keep music as part of your life. I have a lot of friends in New York who are incredibly accomplished musicians, but who make their living doing something else. And a lot of them are the happiest musicians I know because they're not always trying to hustle to get more work to support themselves. They have a stable source of income and they're able to buy themselves beautiful pianos that are very expensive, and they're able to have their time at the piano after work every day. So it's not that one has to give up music if one pursues another career. It's possible to do both, and it can really lead to a very fulfilling life.
For adults who aspire to learn piano late in one's life, how late isn't too late?
I have a beginning student right now who's 70. He always loved music and always wanted to play. And he said, I'm not getting any younger. I can't wait any longer. So he comes with he's taken on a child to raise. So he and his 9-year-old daughter come together for their piano lessons, and they show up holding hands, and it's incredibly sweet. The most important thing is to find the best possible teacher. And the other most important thing is to set aside time every day. It doesn't have to be a lot of time, but it has to be every day.
Looking back, how has music impacted Raj as a human being and the world around him?
Many ways. Music teaches you what's possible in the world. Music teaches you to work really hard to achieve it. But music also keeps you humble, because it always demands the best work you can give it and the hardest work. And it always asks for a little bit more. Music really explores what are the deepest human emotions, the ones that we're not capable of explaining with words, because words are not precise enough. Music is the only language that is precise enough. It reveals the world, but it also connects us to everybody in this world.
You can find Raj's music on Spotify, Apple Music, and most music platforms. Having known him over the years, he always responds if you reach out to him on Facebook. That's it from me. If you know of more such people who have inspired you and wish that I talk about them, do reach out to me at Bose for Leadership, that is Bose numeric for Leadership, at Twitter and Instagram, and Shubham Basu on LinkedIn. Alternatively, you can look for the handle at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Spotify, JioSaavn, Google, and all your favorite podcasting apps. I will be back next week with a brand new story.
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.